those will cause us to ultimately destroy a life could not possibly be an act of grace. It is an act of careless indifference. That's not who He is. He's a God of grace.
Learn more about God's grace and forgiveness when you visit intouch.org. Would you like to hear today's message again? You can stream it on our website or download podcasts and take In Touch with you. Our web address again is intouch.org. And if today's program has motivated you to get to know Jesus better, we'd love to hear from you. Friday, we'll focus our attention on a spiritual discipline that's almost forgotten among believers today. Learn about the place of fasting in prayer tomorrow on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio Program, Ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. I'm your host, Pastor Bob Arthurs, Merritt Assembly of God pastor for 26 and a half years. And we want to thank you for making WMIE a part of your day right here, 91.5 FM, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. I also heard that they have some FM frequencies there. I know because I've found myself listening to myself at 10:30 of a morning driving down the highway, and it's like, I know that guy. and it's like, oh, I guess that must be one of WWBC's frequencies. I think it's like 100.7. I was close. 100.7. You know what close will get you? Missing by just that much. So thanks for tuning in today. We want to welcome you. Today we're going to be talking about, again, out of Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus identifies Pharisees and scribes as blind leaders, that they blind guides that provide the leadership that God wants. But before we get to that, I do want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God for Resurrection Sunday on April the 21st. We're going to be having a phenomenal day. I began a sermon series this last Sunday. We got another one that is coming up for Palm Sunday. And then the conclusion of that series, this day could change everything. That's what I'm going to be preaching in the adults service. But the kids ministry, Children's Church, is going to be having a phenomenal event that day as well. And I believe that is called Escape from the Tomb. And we want to invite the kids to come out. Also on that day, we're restructuring. Sunday morning, we will not be having Sunday school. Instead, we're going to be having a fellowship breakfast, 9:30 of a morning. It's everybody a little bit more time to get out and about, have some fellowship with one another, and we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. At Merritt Assembly of God, we are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's going to be a great day, and would like to encourage you to come and be a part of that if at all possible. We're going to move to Matthew chapter 23 today. Matthew chapter 23, we're going to be in verse number 23 and read 23 and 24, because that's all we're going to be able to get to during today's program. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. We don't want to be leaders like that. We don't want to be led like that. And right now, you know, we're looking at this biblical leadership thing. How does God lead us? Well, here he provides some instruction. And you got to remember that for the Pharisees and the scribes, the thing that Jesus keeps telling them over and over again is that they're in a lamentable condition. And the condition that they're suffering from is hypocrisy. And these people are supposed to be providing the spiritual leadership to this great nation, this covenant people of God. And he said, you are missing it over and over and over again. And here he surmises that the problem is that they are straining out a gnat and they're swallowing a camel. They are fixated on these very teeny tiny little issues, and in the meantime, they're swallowing things in their entirety that they're not supposed to be partaking of. We can't afford to focus on minors while we miss the major things of life. And you know, I've been at this for quite a while now, and I know that there are a lot of people who really thoroughly enjoy arguing. I don't enjoy it. Here's a newsflash for you. I do not enjoy conflict. There's nothing about it that I enjoy unless it involves a golf club, a golf ball, and a scorecard. I don't want to be hitting anybody with a golf club. I don't want to be hitting anybody with a golf ball. I like competition, but I do not like conflict. I don't like it. I don't like verbal arguing. I don't like physical. I don't like intellectual. I don't like any of that stuff. And so when there are people who come and they want to argue about this little theological minutia, is what I will describe it, and they're missing the core reality that we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way to salvation, he came, he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless and holy life, he died on the cross for my sins, he was beaten so that I could have healing, he was raised from the dead, and he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again, and I believe his word is in error. There are a lot of things that we have in common. And the thing that I have concluded, the mindset that I've had to adopt when I encounter people who really want to argue, their life is not fixated on mercy or justice or faith. They're not fixated on any of that, but they want to argue about this little thing here. Or they want to argue about that little thing there. And the place that I've come to is this. I want to ask them, is that question in your mind, is that really what is preventing you from breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough in your life? Because I don't believe that it is. I believe that it is a tactic of the enemy to get us to ignore the things that God wants us to focus on, and then he wants us to make absolutes out of these little bitty teeny tiny things. Now, I don't believe that tithing is a little bitty teeny tiny thing. The Pharisees had taken it, and they were very legalistic about it. They wanted to make sure that you tithed from the mint that you grew, and any other spice that you might have. They wanted to make sure that everything that you had, that you didn't miss the smallest little issue when it comes to your tithe. Now, Jesus says, you don't ignore that. You don't ignore that. There are a lot of people who have a lot of rationale, I'll put that, behind why they do not give, why they do not tithe. I want you to know that I have got no problem giving. I have not found a better system of blessing than to be a faithful and generous, obedient disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ in the area of giving. It is the source of blessing for our church. I have seen fruit manifest. Listen, I see people who don't give and they're miserable, and I see people who do give and they're extremely joyous and jubilant. I see people who don't give and they never have enough, and I see people who do give, and I'm not talking rich people here. I'm talking about people who just give because God has put it in their heart to give, and they are ecstatic. I had a person that told me in the last year or so, said, man, when I look back at my life and I see what God has enabled us to give, I am really just amazed, because that wasn't the background from which he came. It was something that God has just worked in their life. And so let's look at this. First of all, some people think that tithing is old covenant and it's not new covenant. Well, if you want to argue that point, we could have a discussion and say, well, actually everything that I own in the new covenant belongs to God. And so if he comes and he wants to ask me for everything in my checking account, I would say, yes, he's the commander in chief. My understanding of new covenant versus old covenant is God did not come to lower the standard with the new covenant. He came to raise the standard with the new covenant. Tithing actually predates the existence of the law. It's not codified after the law comes into existence. It was something that was in existence beforehand, and it became part of the law, but it is something that I believe is very much New Testament. You don't want to agree with that? Okay, I'm okay. Let's talk about these things that Jesus says that these blind guides were missing, and that is mercy and justice and faith. You see, when you and I become a believer, we're not after vengeance. We're not after oppression. What we're after is justice. And I will tell you that the devil is not just. I don't care how many times that he tries to convince you that his way is a more merciful way, or it is a more right standing way, that he treats people fairly. Well, that is just a flat out lie. The devil is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He never deals with you in integrity. He is always working a scheme. He is always working from a manipulation standpoint, and he is an unjust oppressor. When you look around at the horrific things going on in the world, understand that it is because of the injustice that Satan is a proponent of. Listen, he wants to come and undermine everything that is right. And I know people that are very dear to me, and they fall for the same deception over and over and over again. And that is, well, what about this scenario? And what about this scenario? And they're looking for the anecdotal exclusion that would be used as justification in their mind to invalidate the justice of God. Can we agree that God is holy? Can we agree that God is just? That God is omnipotent? He's able to do anything. He is omniscient. He knows all things. And so I have to conclude that the God who is able to do all things and knows the thoughts and intents, he knows what's going on in our heart without us even having to ask. He knows what we have need of. I have to believe that he is going to do the right thing. As believers, we are also supposed to live fixated on justice. Much of what is going on in our society would not be known as justice. It would be known as lawlessness. People are looking for a reason why they don't have to do something, instead of what could God gain out of this situation? How can God glorify his situation or himself in my situation? I'm telling you, doing the right thing is always the appropriate thing to do. And so he tells the Pharisees, you're straining at these gnats, and you're swallowing these camels. Your focus is in the wrong place. You're getting tripped up in areas you shouldn't get tripped up, and you're swallowing things that you shouldn't be swallowing. You're embracing them intellectually. And he said, and as a result, you're not providing the leadership. I believe the church should be the leader of society when it comes to dealing with justice. That we deal with people not according to the color of their skin, not according to their age, not according to their bank account, but we deal with them in accordance with the word of God. The devil will always try to get you to use a different standard, but the word of God is still the tried and true method. It is still the best way of dealing with difficult situations. If I take my emotions out of it, if I take my attachments out of it, you see, I've known a lot of people, they believed one thing until all of a sudden a family member came onto the scene that had some issues going on, and all of a sudden they flip-flopped everything that they believed. And, and then they had problems with people who still believed the way that they used to believe. Look, my beliefs are going to be based on the word of God. They're not going to be based on a family member's experience or how close they are to me. I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them because loving people is always the right thing to do. And so we need to make sure that we are doing our best to deal with people in a just manner. Here's what I found. People want mercy for themselves. They want mercy for their family members, and they want justice if they are on the other end of the situation. If they're victimized, they want justice. But if they're family members or if themselves, they've done something wrong, then all of a sudden we're crying out for mercy. I believe that mercy is something that we also need to focus on. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If you're constantly praying for your enemies that their teeth are going to fall out, that they're going to suffer harm at every turn and all of that sort of stuff, you need to get back and understand what a blessing God's mercy has been in your life. God's been merciful to me. Jesus said there was a Pharisee who was praying, and he says, I want to thank you. I'm not like this other guy over here. And that other guy was over there saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, mercy is when I don't get what I do deserve. And what I did deserve for my sin was to be eternally separated from God. Can I get a witness that we serve a merciful God today? that he's still merciful, and therefore we need to be people who are full of mercy as well. We need to be bestowers of God's grace. Does that mean that we have no standards? No, that's not what it means at all. It means, though, that we are focused on the restoration of people, not the elimination of people. So if God's mercy has had an effect upon my life, look at what it could do in someone else's life. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's remember to be merciful. Let's remember where God has brought us from. As we're entering resurrection season here, let's remember the price that Jesus paid to bestow mercy on me, on you. His mercy isn't in vain. And then the third thing that Jesus tells them that they were missing out on was these religious leaders. They were not providing guidance that comes from faith. When was the last time that your faith stretched? I mean, you encountered an obstacle that was bigger than anything that you had faced before. I talked to you on this radio program a few weeks ago when my wife and I were traveling, how God dropped something in my heart. David was facing Goliath, and Goliath had been a warrior from his youth, and David was a youth. And they were trying to use David's youth as a disqualification for him going out and facing the giant. They were trying to use his size against him, his youthfulness. And he's like, look, this guy, it's not me that I have a problem with him. I have a problem with the way that he's treating God. I've got a problem, and I'm not just going to stand and sit by and watch that. And what God dropped in my spirit that day as I was driving down the road was that David had always faced obstacles that were bigger than he was. Goliath was a giant. He had never encountered a problem that was as large as he was. So he was self-reliant. He was used to dealing from the position of his strength. David was used to dealing from a position of faith. I was studying for a message here, and it was talking about that the devil is a liar. He is the father of lies, and when he lies, he speaks from his own resources. And I saw that, and all of a sudden it was like, wow. What if God's people started speaking not out of our resources, not out of our wisdom, but out of the resources that God was downloading into our spirit? What if we started speaking from faith of what it's going to look like with that problem in the rearview mirror instead of it just what it looks like in our front windshield? I pray that you and I, that we will remember the just shall live by faith. These three elements are not just silos to themselves. They're not isolated to themselves. They're intertwined. You know, Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. In Romans, the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. 2019, the just shall live by faith. If we are going to have justice, then we have got to operate from a position of faith. The Pharisees and the scribes were constantly trying to keep everything in the status quo. But faith says God is on the move. Faith says God is going to transform a situation. When I go back to a place that I haven't been in a while, it is not the things that have stayed the same that captivates my attention. It is the things that are changed. buildings that didn't used to be there, and now they are because someone had a vision. And so I want to ask you, you know, what is the vision? What does God's vision look like for your life? Because if all you are doing is keeping up an accounting system of the tithe on the of the mint and the anise and the cumin, if you're just, you know, keeping an accounting of that, and you never step out in faith, you're missing the adventure. You're missing the blessing. We still need God. We still need God. I have to be careful how I ask this, because many times people don't understand the question. And so I'm going to explain, I'll try and explain it. The question is this: what would you do if resources were not an issue? If you had plenty of manpower, what ministry would you start? If you had plenty of finances, what ministry could you do? How could you show mercy? How could you deal with the injustices of society? How could you deal with those things? If money was no object, if manpower was no object, what would you do? And many times people don't have an answer to that question because they're too busy over there counting the mint and the anise and the cumin. We tend to miss the huge things. Now, here's what Jesus said: these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. This is not an either or situation. It is a both and situation. You see, tithing is not my spiritual obligation. Tithing is a ministry of faith. It is a faith action. It's not just obedience, although it is obedience. You see, God in his justice deserves the tithe. It belongs to him. He declared that it was holy. It belonged to him. And so I want to do those things. I don't want to miss out on those things, but I want to continue to do it. He said, these you ought to have done without leaving the others done. I want to ask you today to do a little self-evaluation and say, are there the big things that God wants us to focus on that somehow we may have missed out on? We got our focus distracted. And then say, God, how do you want me to address those situations? You might ask yourself, also in an honest assessment, God, are there things that I'm missing in my life? Maybe some things that I have overlooked. I don't know if it happens around your house, but you know, there are times when I'm looking for something and my wife will tell me where it's at. And I go looking for it, and I go looking for it, and I look, and I look, and I look, and I don't see it. And she walks in the room, walks over, and picks it up because she knew right where it was at. And many times it's because I was looking for it to appear in a different manner. Today, let's not strain at gnats, let's not swallow camels, but let's allow God to help us to remember justice, mercy, faith, tithing. Let's remember all those things. 321-632-1000 if you want to be a part of the spring offering right here on WMIE. If you call, tell them you heard about it on the Refresh Radio program, and we will see you tomorrow right here on WMIE 91.5.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to